Welcome to Fresh Voices of Legal Tech. I am Mercedes Brown, ILTA's UK Community Engagement Manager, and today we're going to meet new voices in legal technology who will showcase and educate the future of the legal landscape and have a little fun. Let's meet today's guests. Today I am joined by Josh, Ayala and Ilaria from the brilliant Tessian team, and we're just going to talk about their roles in legal tech, and we're going to especially tailor it for people that are new to the industry so you can hear what it's like to work in information security, specifically in the legal sector. And actually, Ayala, you don't focus on legal, so that was going to be even more interesting to hear about. So I'm going to start by asking you guys to introduce yourself in alphabetical order, just a snapshot or a simple sentence.
And I'm Ayala. My role is customer success executive, and I work with firms both in the legal sector as well as financial services to protect their employees from making mistakes on email, so accidentally sending information to wrong recipients, and on the other side, protecting them from malicious attacks.
I'm Ilaria. I'm part of the international growth team at Tessian with Josh. So we work with US, Canadian and Australian customers, mainly across the industries, really, so from finance to tech. And legal as well. So excited to be here.
Perfect.
Thanks, Mercedes, and thanks so much for having us today. I'm Josh, and I also work in the international growth team with Ilaria, just like she mentioned. Our role specifically is building a bit on what Ayala mentioned at the start there, but specifically taking Tessian into new geographies. So we're a London headquartered company, and the international growth team focuses on expanding Tessian's geographical presence, so mainly in the United States and also Canada and Australia primarily. But with the same sort of issues that Ayala solves for her clients, just different geographical workplace.
Just to pick up on that, you're not, are you subject focused or are you more focused on markets?
We're focused more, to be honest, on all of the markets. We're more geography focused, but we'll primarily focus on the financial and legal market in these industries. So we tend to focus on those markets, as historically it's where Tessian has been involved with. So legal's a huge part of our team function, but the primary function is the new geography part of that. So it'll be legal across Canada, Australia, US, etc., and not just limited to those specific industries.
That's really interesting, because one of the things I was discussing the other day was how there's this emerging role around helping a brand develop its presence outside of a locality on a more global scale, because obviously we're seeing technology give opportunities to businesses. So I think it would be really interesting to this audience as well to hear about your role in shaping that as well as we go through this series. So let's start first with Tessian as an organization. What made you want to work?
I think what made me be really interested in the first place was the problem that we're solving, really. I guess the potential that comes with it as well. So I think what we've built and what we're building solves problems that are crucial for most companies rather than, you know, a nice to have. And so being able to feel the impact so directly, I think, was really important for me. And then I'd say at the same level is the team as well. So working on solving like a really meaningful problem with really cool people, I think.
Had you heard a lot about Tessian before you began, or did you do what kind of research? Was it just checking up their company pages, social media? I mean, Tessian is very engaging, so just curious.
I think, our marketing is doing a really great job, I think. I did know about the company before. I'd been following it, I would say, for about 6 months before I decided to think about joining. I originally found out of it through alumni in my school. And so from there, I guess the journey started.
I think Ayala and mine is probably quite similar, actually. We joined Tessian a couple of years ago. So my motivation for originally joining the company is I'd just been working at a much larger company, so sort of 50,000 employees or so, and it was interesting stuff, but they didn't feel much impact in what I was doing, or the day-to-day wasn't as exciting. So the big reason for me for joining the company was the hypergrowth it was going through, and it, you know, is still going through at the time, and the ability to actually make the difference on projects. So the things that I were doing were actually, in the grand scheme of things, really important to the whole company. So they were such a big component of it, because we were so small. So that was the big thing for me, I think, that small company that was growing a lot and having the kind of flexibility and freedom. And it was quite fun to join that time. I don't know if it's the same view. I think you joined 3 months before me, but I imagine.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, exactly. It was actually my 2-year anniversary 2 weeks ago. So for me, similarly, before Tessian, I was working at a big university, so public sector, huge. And I was looking for a place where I could make a direct impact. At the same time, the fact that Tessian was growing so quickly, we just raised the Series A. And I noticed that we were trying to grow our client base as well as offices into new geographies. And that was something that I wanted to be involved with directly. And I could see a really tangible opportunity for progression that would be relatively quick within Tessian. At the same time, when I did my undergraduate degree, that was in law. Mm-hmm. And I noticed that the majority of our customer base at the time were law firms. So I really wanted to take advantage of my in-depth understanding of the sector, because I had completed a variety of internships and work experiences in law firms, to dealing directly with firms and helping them solve the types of issues that Tessian targets.
Okay, so did you stumble on Tessian by accident, or was it, did someone flag them? How did that connection happen?
For me, I think there was a big push around when we completed our Series A of funding. And it was actually suggested to me on LinkedIn. So kind of the luck of the LinkedIn algorithm and really timing. And then I think just our presence on things like Instagram really helped.
That's crazy. Interesting.
Just to gauge what the office was like, as well as the personality and social vibe of the company. And it just looked like a group of people that I would get along with and wanted to work with.
That's brilliant. So none of you have actually mentioned the company job board. So I'm going to summarize. Your advice is essentially keep an eye on the social media channels of the company, and then engage with the alumni networks, and then sort of use LinkedIn as much as you can, which is interesting. And none of you have actually said word of mouth. So that's interesting. I'm sure if we did this about 2-3 years ago, that would have been a totally different response. So that's interesting. Right. So now we're going to kind of talk about titles. Right. So I remember interviewing for a learning and development role for the very first time. I'd just come out of uni, and I actually thought it was about international development. So I did all my research, right, about developing the socioeconomic needs of, you know, developing countries. And I rock up to this interview, and it's a completely different idea or actual role as to what my expectations were. So I was going to ask you guys, so Ayala, your customer success executive, Josh and Nilera, your international growth. So what did you think your role would be, and what is your role now in terms of expectations versus reality? Anyone can jump in first. I don't mind this time.
So Ayala and I joined actually as outbound growth associate. So our role when we joined a couple of years ago. So that was quite a vague term at the time. I think when I thought I was joining, it was to sort of, you know, go outbound and try and get new customers for testing. I don't think I knew quite the in-depth of it. I think now the role in international growth is still from the outside. And maybe Ilaria, you probably, you know, I wonder what you thought the role would be before you came. So it's still quite a vague term. But I think what it is now is we take, sort of organize international events, and we're always growing our presence internationally. And that can mean a variety of ways. Sometimes it's just on the business side of things. Sometimes it's running marketing events in these sectors. But it truly is just increasing Tessian's presence. There's sort of a number of ways that can be done. I think when I first joined, I wasn't certain what outbound growth meant. I just thought, yeah, it was going outside, making more people aware of Tessian, which I guess is, in a sense, a different.
I think to build on that, so I did start as an outbound growth associate. Since then, I moved to be a customer success executive. So I think, yeah, thinking about the phrase customer success, it could give a variety of ideas. My perception was that it was working with our existing customers to ensure that they're leveraging our technology to the best extent possible, so that they get the best value out of it. But also growing the level of revenue that we're getting from the existing customer base. Mm-hmm. And that's one element of the role, absolutely. But beyond that, I discovered that we work really closely with Tessian's product team, as well as engineering team, to help bridge the gap that exists between customers
and our technical side of the business to improve the products further. And we really want to ensure that the way Tessian is growing is in line with what our customers want and what's useful for them. So it's an element of the role I discovered upon starting.
So customer success, right? It's quite, supposing someone was considering using this, maybe a law graduate wanted to increase their knowledge of legal tech and they saw customer success executive. Is this a role that you think is different for different providers, or do you think there's a standard expectation of what that role entails?
I think it can vary in that for certain companies, customer success won't necessarily be a revenue generating role. And in some companies, it might be focused purely on customer service as well as renewals. So I do think it's worth looking into the subtleties of the job description and seeing what kind of elements and expectations exist. I think for people already working in law firms, maybe in legal roles at the moment, customer success might be really interesting because they're already working with their own clients day to day, advising them on ongoing matters. So with customer success at Tessian, I guess it's not really legal advice, but rather advice on how to best configure and leverage the tools that we're equipping them with.
So international growth, where on earth do you begin? Because do you speak more than one language? Because this is an understanding of a market and, you know, using that towards the advantage of a company that you're working for. So how on earth do we begin with international growth?
I think, I think in terms of language, et cetera, I don't speak any multiple languages or have any sort of backgrounds in other countries, et cetera. I've actually always been predominantly London-based. I think the thing for us that makes us different, sort of the skills we have to adapt, are working with different countries. So different countries have different mannerisms in just how they would like to be communicated with, how they'll get in touch with you, the things they want to hear about. So that's one thing I picked up sort of from working with these different countries. I think the other thing is different hours. So our hours are not always standard. Some of the times we have to do, sometimes we have to support an Australian event, sometimes we'll support a US event in the evening. So that flexibility is part of it as well. But I think the part that sort of wouldn't necessarily tie to international growth, or you wouldn't expect to be part of international growth, but it's a key part for us, is actually knowledge of Tessian. So a really big part for us and sort of why the team exists is we know Tessian very well. We've been with the product for so long, and it's really helpful to have that view of, and this sort of tangential from, well, this is how it happened in the UK, these are the things we've done with these clients. So then when you take it to a new geography, that experience with just the product is there. Because for other countries, the concept of Tessian it doesn't mean anything. It's completely new. That's true. Being able to explain it in that way and, you know, being able to adapt that, I think, to different countries.
So it doesn't require any sort of technical skills, pretty much.
I'd say our job has technicality skills in that you need to be technically adept with a product. So we're talking to information security professionals every day. And if there isn't a certain confidence in us to be able to technically explain that product, then there becomes no confidence in the product. So there's a technical skill of being able to explain actually how that works on their level, so they understand where it would sit, how it functions, what kind of parameters it's looking at. And that bit is, in a sense, a technical skill. But I'd say a large part of it is like a soft skill of adapting to all the different personality types and ways people may communicate in different geographies and areas. And that part is just adapting to people. I think that there's no technical skill in that at all. It's just being able to communicate with them.
I think what I found really surprising at first is, even though you have like people working in different countries and, you know, the realities are completely different, when you sometimes have these conversations, you'll realize that, you know, you have one, say, with an Australian firm and then an hour later with a US company, and you find yourself having very similar conversations in that the problems that they're facing, to go back to the problem part, is often really similar regardless of where they are. And so I think the bigger part of it is really understanding what problems companies and teams are facing and really understanding how to position the conversation there versus necessarily like thinking about geography as kind of a territorial discussion.
So then going back to what Josh said, it's more about people skills and understanding what the clients need from you, because you already have your experts on your product, but it has to be tailored towards who your customer is, isn't it? So you're leaning more towards soft skills than technical skills in information security is what I think you're saying.
Yeah, I would say so.
Okay. And then on that note, I wanted to you know, come to an end with this bit about your roles and sort of discuss your team environment and what it's actually like working in legal tech, how would you explain what you do to a six-year-old?
That's a really interesting question. I think how I would put it would just be that we help. Well, it's not exciting answer. So Josh and Ayala, think of something better here. I think the way I'd put it is we help teams and security teams particularly solve problems for themselves, for their customers, and for their company. And ultimately, we're just helping them keep their company secure. I don't know if a six-year-old would understand
that. Less secure.
Same. Maybe same is better than secure.
Yeah. Thank you. Who's next, Josh?
I'd probably, really simple for a six-year-old, is we're a teacher. We teach them about how a product works, and then we can also then work as like a cashier. They can choose if they want to add it on.
I like that, yeah. Not that I didn't like your one, Laura. Sounds bad.
That's a really
complex.
Spot on, Josh. Maybe helping to protect companies from mistakes that employees can make.
And then so with Tessian obviously plays in a bigger field. It has clients from other sectors, but the context for this sort of podcast is legal tech. So let's talk a bit about legal tech as an industry. If legal tech was a person, what attributes would they have? What would they be like? What legal tech as a person? Let's not do the outfits. Let's just talk about what they will be like at an event.
I think from any events I went to, the people love a drink at Legal Tech. They've always got great social aspects at the events. They're always fast paced and quite energetic. Most of the events I've gone to, there's always sort of an exciting keynote that's not necessarily related to Legal Tech. It always kicks everyone off and gets everyone quite excited. So I found in that sense, I'd say the sector's fast moving as well. I mean, we haven't even worked in it for that long. They've been at Tessian for nearly 2 years now. But since that time, then we see a lot of different shifts. A lot of the sectors, you know, always moving and catching up with others or going ahead of others in certain different areas. And I'd say recently it's grown quite a lot from what I've seen. So it seems to be even more, it doesn't never seem to be decreased in terms of a legal firm's priority. Tech never seems to be on the list of getting smaller. It just seems to keep rising in that regard. So those are the sort of few things I would say about it. I'm not sure if there's, Ayala or Laura, if you got anything else to add.
I completely agree about the social element, and I feel legal tech people are really innovative. I guess they want to be ahead of the curve, so they want to maybe have a sense of purpose that they're working towards, some kind of meaningful mission to do with technology and security and legal, and maybe even like a multidisciplinary person, because it combines the interesting elements of technology and security with maybe a more conservative sector like legal, and trying to break the mold and drive people in a new direction that will be beneficial.
I think those are solid points, because I saw this tweet recently about students only being, or a certain category of students only being aware of traditional roles and not really knowing what's out there. So they kind of get fed up because they're just seeing, you know, the doctor, lawyer, accountant, the traditional, mainstream roles, and they're not seeing the possibilities outside of that. And I think what you have highlighted is people expect legal technologists to be very technical, and, you know, they don't see the social aspect, but the industry is very connected and it functions like a large community, and people is very close knit as well. So I think that's something that definitely stands out. And I was going to ask you, what would you say to people considering a career in this industry in terms of what to expect? Because I remember speaking to someone about why they chose to work for a provider as opposed to a law firm. And they said, look, I love change. I like to be in a fast-paced environment. And I just didn't think that the law firm environment would match that for me. And so what are your thoughts on that?
I completely agree with that. I think with legal tech, a lot of the time it'll be quite new ideas and companies And there is an amazing opportunity to make suggestions on the technology itself, on internal processes, directly to the leadership. And you'll be taken seriously and listened to. And then the change does happen within a matter of days, weeks, or months. And I think that's quite starkly different to going to those traditional roles that have prescribed structures where potentially having an impact just takes longer. So I think it will depend on what gives people a sense of purpose and motivation in the role.
I have a friend who works in legal tech, actually at a legal firm side of things. And I think his experience is still similar to, you know, that being in working legal tech, but not for the legal firm themselves. And they're still exposed to these innovative solutions every day. And they're still evaluating these just from the other side of the curve. So I think both sides of it have got quite interesting. I think even for the internal legal firms, technology has boomed so much that there's now so many internal roles looking at that. And you can actually build something quite exciting for that firm in that it can be their first venture into a certain part of legal tech. And then conversely, on this side, if you have a legal tech product, you can just take over a new part of the market and talk to so many businesses. And it can be super fast moving, like your friend mentioned. So I think both are relevant, but
yeah, no, I think you're right. But I think automatically when people have an interest in law, the law firm is the first thing that comes together. And when they think provider, they think about the big players like Google and, you know, Cisco, the bigger, they don't really think that there are some people that supply to legal. And sometimes, and even recently, I've heard of so many cases where you get to work for a client within a firm assigned to your product. So I think there are different, it's a very flexible and fast changing environment, and there's loads of promise as well to people that are interested in the sector. Elera, I wasn't sure, did you want to add something to that?
I think what's really exciting about working in earlier stage companies like Tessin, but also legal tech definitely applies, is also the fact that you can really create and invent work and the work that you work on. So I think this will be, I would say, an interesting opportunity for lots of people, young people who are looking at, you know, their next move or a possible start to their career, where having the opportunity to really create and choose what to work on, depending on, you know, what you're interested in, what you see the industry or the sector going towards. I think that's really exciting. And I think I don't have experience, as Josh mentioned, again, on the legal side of things, but I'm sure there's companies as well as, you know, legal firms, but also providers where this is possible. So I think if I were starting over, I would just look for the opportunity to be able to invent and create what to work on versus necessarily one side or the other. Because I think then it definitely will depend as well in terms of firms and companies.
So kind of go where your curiosity takes you. And then last but not least, I was going to ask, what is one thing you love about your team and the clients you get to work with?
I think from a team perspective, the thing I love about my team specifically is we're a small team of four. So we always know what each other's doing all the time. And like everyone on the team's super dependable and hardworking. And you feel like basically motivated by each other. Like Alari doing something is always really impressive and it will motivate me. There's like a good energy in that team.
I think that
I find quite unique. And it's probably because of our size, but we get to know exactly what other people are doing. And that part's quite motivating, I find. But client side of things, I don't know.
Well, with clients, I love how by being a customer of Tessian, they don't just want to maybe leverage what we're currently providing, but they're bought into our long-term mission. So when we mention an opportunity to discuss a new feature and hear the client's current experience with a new risk we want to address, they're always so willing to contribute the time and want to be part of that journey. So down the line, when we release a new feature, they know that they've had direct input on developing it. And it's just, yeah, it's great to want to have those customers that are so engaged with our journey. Mm. And in terms of my team, I think very similar to Josh, people are just so committed and motivated that it drives you to be even better than you currently are. But I also love how communicative everyone is on Slack. And how transparent, really, like people are in general about what they think is going well, but also what they think should be improved about the way the team works.
Can I ask you to elaborate a bit on the teams that you would work with on a closer basis? For instance, are you working more with marketing, the product teams, or in terms of your role?
I think Alaria and I work quite closely with marketing a lot of the time. So a lot of our event strategy for if we want to do an international event, we'll be driving that alongside marketing. So we work really closely with marketing. I'd say we work closely with products as well, in that a big part of us will be sort of defining how the product sits in new geographies and working with product to get feedback from other perspectives that we haven't had before. So those would be our sort of two main ones, I think, off the top of my head. Marketing probably is our most common, and they'll often be our point of call for any kind of events we drive, and they're super supportive of that motion.
So yeah, I work quite closely with the product team in order to provide feedback and comments communicated by customers about the way they're currently using the technology, and that can have a direct input on the current roadmap for the product team and what they're prioritizing. So I'd say product, and then marketing in terms of building a customer community, and yeah, developing thought leadership events that feature our customers.
One we're probably missing, Ayala, is each other. So like, Ayala will work with our team, and we'll work with Ayala's team. If so, a customer that has gone through the international growth team and now become a customer, they'll then get put in touch with the customer success team. So we actually end up, our teams working together. I think we just sort of forget about it.
And I was going to ask, so this is like a random one, but I am assuming this, so correct me if I'm wrong, but you work a lot with chief information security officers, don't you? If you are going to give a top tip to someone looking to or who might have to work with this group, what advice would you give to them?
From my perspective, working with customers, I'd say it's just important to give room and listen to what the information security officer will have. It's just, I think, important not to impose our own priorities on customers and take their steer on other projects that they have going on in terms of security, and then advise on how Tessian can complement those projects and also help the CISO internally to meet their objectives.
Yeah, I'd say be sharp on your technical details. The CISOs, they're busy, they've got a lot on their plate, but technically they're obviously very, very competent. So the moment you would get something wrong technically, that will just frame you as incompetent. And I think you lose any kind of respect you have with them in that sense. So I think the technical details are super, super important with a CISO, because they want to know from a security standpoint how this product would work, and they want to know the exact details on that. So that thing I found is really helpful with that kind of market.
Mm. So product knowledge is very important.
I was just going to add, I think on a maybe person, as a person note as well, it's just being willing and being interested in the other person's role and priorities and what they're working on. I think that's really important. I think sometimes it's something that I see people forget a bit, where I think it's like the first thing that I guess one should be thinking of when speaking to CISOs, but when speaking to anyone really in our role, is really understanding what the other person, you know, is aiming for, is working on, is, you know, has targets towards. And then I think once you get that and you understand that, then you know how to position yourself and how to frame the conversation as well. And so I think everything Ayala and Josh mentioned as well, from a understanding the other person's perspective.
Thank you. Those are really, I think, really useful tips. Thank you so much. I haven't got a CISO interview coming up. I'm just asking. It's random. Right. So we're going to wrap up now. But before we do so, I have to ask you something quirky, or else marketing will not allow this to go live. So first things first, I'm going to ask you a question about your team spirit. Which one of you is more likely to organize a team outing?
We think this one's Ayala, definitely.
I have to add, the first time I met Ayala, I was in Amsterdam, and she works in the UK, so that is just that's your testimonial there, 100%. Okay, and then who's the last to leave at the office Christmas party?
We said Josh on this one. No.
Oh wow, that, yeah. I didn't see that one coming, Josh. What did you say?
Who do you think it would be?
I thought it would be Ayala again.
Probably the experience from Amsterdam.
That's Okay, and then which one of you is more likely to micro the tea or coffee? I mean, Ilta is American, so to them this is not an offense, but to me personally, I will look at you differently. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I thought this was just completely wrong. I just don't understand why.
It's morally wrong, isn't it?
I don't get it. Who did we come to?
It was me again.
Oh, no.
I've totally done this before. Doesn't taste different.
It does taste. Did you say it doesn't taste different?
Yes.
I think technically no, but in your mind it's less pleasing.
You know what, Josh, just have words with her at the end of this. This is not acceptable, Yala. Wow. Disregard everything she said in this podcast. And then which one of you is more likely to, okay, so this is the noughties, miss a team outing?
I don't think Iola would.
Or a flight.
I've got my answer for flight, but I don't know about outing.
Yeah.
I think it would be Ilaria for both. We keep in agreement.
Why would be Josh? Because no, you're your job. But with your jobs, wouldn't you be missing?
To add some context here, I organized our last social with Josh, and Josh told us the day before that he didn't want to join. And so I would actually point my finger at Josh there and say he would be the one. It wasn't workout. That was the reason, but
the context on that, it was not a social, it was a workout that was billed as a social, and I said I'm fine for tonight. You guys go ahead. I didn't see the need.
This is so contradictory. So you're the last to leave the Christmas party, but you won't show up for a workout.
Okay. But then not to the workout.
Yes. Not to the workout. To earn the party. It's crazy. Okay, and who is more likely to have online shopping delivered at work?
So I think we've all done this, but I said Ilaria.
Oh no, why?
Because I've seen Ilaria get food ordered to work. So that just made her the point. I think all of us have got clothes ordered to work. But then Alara's got food, so that's the extra point for me that solidified her.
This is not even Amazon stationery, nothing.
We've all got that, haven't we, I think. But then that's why I couldn't differentiate us there, but that was the differentiator for me.
But Ayala, you order food to the office, like pizza.
Ooh, that would be Ilaria. But I would this as a positive thing, like being more efficient and getting your stuff delivered at work.
I guess the weather in London when I did that was also really bad. So I think, if I remember correctly, I didn't want to leave the office.
Oh, see, I love my job so much. I'm going to get food there. What did you go? What food was this?
There's actually so many restaurants around our office. So
there is. Food. That's true. Yeah. Oh, yeah. And stay to your office. Let people know you have such a lovely office. I've been to it. It's in Finsbury Square, right? So
yeah.
Did I get that wrong? Yeah. Next to nice, lovely bars. Okay, perfect. Okay, that is it. That is our final. It is a wrap. Thank you so much.
Thanks for tuning into this ILTA Radio Fresh Voices episode. Check out more episodes and other ILTA podcasts on iltanet.org and all other podcast platforms.